room.
It's 8:45 on the clock, so we will call to order the Board of Supervisors for Thursday, December 6, 2018, and we'll start by reciting the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I know, that's terrible. He ought to be thrown out.
The Opens Meeting Act is posted on the east wall. Attendance by observation. Jurgens Hill, Bauman, Dorn, Lytle, Byers, and Tiemann. The consent agenda. Number one, general agenda. Number two, approve minutes of the meeting held November 21st, 2018. Number three, approve all claims through December 5th, 2018 in the amount of $457,815.92, except claim number 18120060 to R.L. Tiemann in the amount of $5,059.60 to be voted on separately below. Number four, approve and place on file correspondence received. Number five, approve utility permit number 1117, Norris Public Power District, will be boring 2 inches, 5 foot below bottom of ditch under Township Road for 7.2 kV electric line encased in a 2-inch core flex pipe located in the southwest and southeast quarter of Section 11, Township 4 North, Range 6 East, Midland Township. Approve closing the courthouse for the full day on December 24, 2018. Approved district court summary fee report for the seven. Approved district court summary fee for the month of November. That number six there, I believe, per our handbook, that would have been closed at half a day. But because of where that falls on a holiday, I believe that that's a Monday. Tuesday then is also the holiday. Instead of having them come in for half a day, we decided to close it all day that day, and then they would have essentially have a 4-day.
Can we exempt the county attorney and the clerk and have them come into work that day?
Sure. You can do anything you want, Denny.
We were here yesterday. That's the funeral.
Okay, we'll leave them alone, too.
It's
that half day is not a, yes, it's on the employees themselves. That's not a paid holiday. It's just closing the courthouse that day.
As of now, anyhow, that's how.
Anything else for the consent agenda? Any other comments? If not, I entertain a motion to approve.
I would move to approve the consent agenda.
Second.
Motion by Byers and seconded by Lytle. Vote. 7-0 in favor. Regular agenda. Approve or disapprove claim number 18120060 to R.L. Tiemann in the amount of $5,059.60. This brings the total claims approved through December 5th, 2018 to $462,875.52.
Move to approve.
Second.
Motion by Hill, seconded by Bauman. Vote. 5 in favor with Tiemann abstaining. Six in favor. Yep. Comments from the public and requests for future agenda items. If you want, yep. Now is the time to come on out. You bet. And thank you. And we just need your name and address for the record.
Lawrence Fossler, 417 North 11th. And I work for the County Highway Department, and we're having a few things happening that, you know, the public wants us to move snow and stuff, and some people went Sunday, November 25th, got equipment ready, and then we get overtime taken back away from us, which, you know, I don't know how. We have some laws and stuff, state statutes and everything that says, you know, and I talked to a state official yesterday, and he said Sunday to them is automatically overtime, and that's sacred, he said. And I know it says in the statute that if I can use my phone to get it. It states that, you know, they can we get overtime pay is time and a half worked 8 hours in a day, 40 in a week, and double pay is required for any hours worked over 12 in a day, and in excess of 8 hours on any seventh day of a work week. And that's state minimum wage and overtime laws. Then we have that, that we were told we couldn't use comp time. Well, state statute 84-1001, employees are required to work on holidays, or they must be given either compensatory time off or be paid for the time worked. So just a few issues that we're having. You know, we have our employee handbook says when we get called out, we get, you know, anything over 8 hours, we get overtime or whatever. And just some things that we were called out Monday morning, 5 o'clock, needed to get the maintainer to Norm Pieper so the ambulance could get him. And so, you know, it's emergencies. And we're just trying to, I'm representing everybody down there that we, do you want us just to work 7 to 3:30, 5 days a week, or, you know, make up for other things? You know, that's our concerns. So,
Lawrence, in public comment here, we cannot answer. We cannot visit with you.
Yep.
Would you stay around? Gary brought this up. Would you stay around? And when we have Road and Bridge committee meeting, if you'd stay around, then we'll invite you back up, and then we could have a conversation with that.
Yep.
Would that work?
Yep.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
So stay here. Yes. Anything else for public comment? We have a timed event at 9 o'clock, so we'll keep going on committee meetings here yet then. Next up, building and ground winter lights.
Dave.
Good morning.
Morning.
We did not have any new news at the last committee reports. We do have roof bid. We've got too many bids going on. The detention center roof bid, I think we did get one. Two bids for that. They'll be open today.
We got another half hour yet, so they can get them in here by 9:30. So it says right there 9:30 close, except, oh, that was yesterday, though.
That was that's how it was published, was yesterday.
Oh, never mind. That was yesterday. Well, we didn't close them, though.
That's true. No. We have, yeah.
Well, what if the courthouse is closed and they couldn't get here yesterday, though?
Well, that's up for the attorney to decide.
It didn't happen, so we don't have to worry.
So I don't have to worry. Okay. Thanks. Go ahead.
It'll happen at 9:30. The other thing would be our phone system. They are starting to move in equipment, and it's just kind of coexisting with our old equipment. They haven't switched anything over yet at this time, but there's new equipment on the rack, so they just kind of rearranged, and so we're still using our old equipment. They are bringing fiber to the building. We have to supply the conduit for the fiber, so you'll see a truck out here one of these days, and they're going to just bring a new conduit to the building, and then it will go from the courthouse and then over to the sheriff's office with new fiber. So I know they're talking January. They're having some dates for certain times to be done, so I think it should be wrapped up maybe by the end of January. Other than that, no new news. Thank you.
I've got a question on the winter lights. They're not on all night long. They're timed and shut off at a certain time?
Correct. Yeah. They've always come on at 5 o'clock and run until 1 in the morning.
One, okay.
And then the regular courthouse lights come on after that.
The only reason I asked committee meeting morning when we came in here and it was dark yet, they weren't on. And I go, oh, I thought they were always on during when it was dark. So they're not on timers that way. They're on timers for to shut off at 1 o'clock.
Correct, right. Yeah, 1 o'clock.
If you'd come by at 12:30, 1 o'clock, you'd see that they've
got I'm
on.
Usually not in Beatrice at that time driving by here. But I was. Committee meetings, always, you know, it was dark Monday morning, quarter till 7, and our lights aren't on. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Dave.
Equalization.
Nothing.
Finance insurance.
Nothing new.
You know what? This is one time where there is just one on a big ticket item. Beatrice Concrete, Sand and Gravel, Rock, $26,965.67. That's the large ticket items.
And that's the end of the aggregate on the road this year, basically, is in that also.
That was the end of the township gravel, you mean?
Yeah, not the rock, but...
No, but the end of the township gravel were in there. For all townships, so they're all done. Okay. One other thing I'm going to bring up here then in finance and insurance. When we were discussing about how to deal with paying of the Beatrice 6, one of the things that we as a board had a little bit of discussion on was currently counties, they can impose a sales tax, but it has to be by vote of the people, and then they cannot collect it in wherever there's another government or municipal entity collecting it. They can. So in Gage County here, that was round numbers, it looked like most of those dollars, if we had a sales tax, or could try to collect the sales tax, there wouldn't be many dollars collected because most of those would be in other entities that we could not collect in. I visited with several of the numerous state senators about the possibility of some kind of bill that would allow counties to pay on a federal judgment, impose a sales tax, and collect it countywide. Senator Baker's staff, they've been visiting with the bill drafters up there, and they are working on drafting a bill. And the amount won't be in there, a half cent or a cent. They are going to come up with dollar figures for what that would collect, a half cent or a cent. Just me looking at the numbers, a half cent would collect roughly $1 million. Now, I don't know if that's correct or not. They're going to come up with those figures. I hope to have something the next board meeting here so this board can look on that, look at that, and see if that's something that they would like to pursue or have introduced up there in the legislature this year. The senators I have visited with have been receptive to the fact that this would be maybe a different avenue other than property taxes to help pay for the Beatrice 6. Situation that we're in. Like I said, I hope to have that ready by the next meeting to bring down here, and then this board can have that discussion and see if that's something that interests this board or not. I don't intend to introduce that by myself. I think that should come from this board, some other type of... I will introduce it, but I don't intend to do it by myself without this board's knowledge or approval or however they want to handle it. So that's something that they have a rough draft of one already, but I've been visiting back and forth with them. If you have any ideas how you maybe would like that to look or to change, the part that would be in there is for just only allowed for payment of federal judgments. Then it's germane to all the counties, all the cities, but the only time you could use that is to pay a federal judgment, which ours is a federal judgment. So the only way that this would be allowed to be used is for the payment of federal judgment. Once the judgment is done, paid, it would automatically end. So that's something that I know, like I said, we have visited as a board in the past about doing that and taking some relief off of property taxes. That is what this would do. We'll see what we can get it finished and here by committee meetings so we can talk about it. Committee meetings next time. and then have some discussion at the board meeting. But I just wanted to give you guys all a heads up so that you're thinking about that too and see if that's an option.
I would say, Myron, to take a few minutes to not only to visit with NACO, because, of course, this gives permission. It doesn't mandate anything. It gives counties permission. But talk to the cities also, to the municipalities, their league, because they have this authority now.
Yes, they have the authority now.
And we're just asking for the county to have the same authority, basically.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It would be different than the current statute, what is in-state statute or whatever, because currently that bill, and I don't know how many years ago that bill was drafted or when that bill came into effect, but we cannot, county, if they, county would have a favorable response by the people to vote to collect a sales tax, we could not collect it in, I know Beatrice, they have their own sales tax, and I don't know how many of the other cities, I know Cortland does, but I don't know some of the others whether they do or not. Wherever they are collecting one, currently today, we cannot collect a county sales tax. So those are some things that maybe here in the next 2 weeks or something, like I said, I more than welcome feedback. I haven't specifically, I've told the staff up there to leave the amount, half cent or whatever, open because I wanted feedback from the board. But I also told them, I says, I wanted more of a number than just me looking at Department of Revenue statistics from the last couple of years and saying we're going to maybe have a possibility of collecting this. I'd like an idea of what really has been collected. So they're researching that, too. So
I know this might try as feasible, but since it is a state issue that we're paying for, if there could be a very small incremental amount that be added to the state sales tax statewide, I would love to see that instead of all of it being burdened on just Gage County. Don't know if that's realistic, but as you're in discussion to raise a similar amount statewide or even more, we're talking a very, very small increment to add to the state sales tax. These aren't laws. These aren't Gage County laws that were I don't even know how to say it. This court case wasn't because of Gage County laws. It was because of state and federal law. So if that could be put across the entire state, it might encourage them to change statute also so that this doesn't come up again, because now that there's a big dollar amount out, this is going to happen again and again through other counties, other cities, other municipalities, and we're just the beginning of the fallout. We're not the end of it.
Thank you. We have a timed event at 9 o'clock, and it's 9:03. So if somebody wants to continue that, we'll continue it after a bit here. 9 o'clock, we have a timed event of presentation of a plaque to Myron Baumfock for his years of service to Gage County. So Galen and Myron, if you guys want to come on up. And Myron, if you'd like to talk, or Galen, and tell us a little about how long and what some of maybe what you've done.
Do I have to?
No, you don't, but then we're going to ask Galen to do it. So then.
Let him do it then.
Okay.
Well, I've worked directly and indirectly with Myron for, 37 years and 5 months?
Yep.
Okay. And like I said, we've worked side by side and times on the bridge crew and then he became a truck driver and stuff, and Myron's always been a very dependable employee and a very efficient employee, and I just want to wish him a happy retirement.
You're a truck driver, I think, part of the time, or full-time truck driver lately? Truck driver, so. So thank you very much for your years of service. Sure. It's enjoy retirement.
And we were together before he became a boss, and that was a ride.
That
was a lot of fun.
Yeah. A lot of fun, got a lot of work done.
Yeah. We need to go into closed session for you to tell everything about Myron.
Don't have that much
time. I'll get him in trouble.
Thank you very, very much for your years of service, and it is indeed great to have some employees like you around the last 37-plus years. So. And yeah,
Myron, on behalf of the county, I'd like to give you this plaque and appreciation of your 37 years and 5 months of work for the county at the Roads Department.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir.
Yep.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Our next time event's not till 9:30. So anything else for finance or insurance? Human resources, employee relations. One thing I'll bring up, and we're going to talk a little bit about it. Well, Lisa had to go to a meeting. We were going to talk about the zoning meeting. The zoning board meets next Tuesday night. I had a sheet here somewhere. And I know some of us were going to try and attend that. Well, Nicole has called also, and she's requested a couple of us board members out there for next Tuesday night. She is going to have what she called the two bosses immediately above her down for a meeting. And she would like a couple board members to be able to attend that and just have the opportunity to visit with them also and stuff. So we'll be visiting here between now and next Tuesday night who can possibly works best to go to the zoning board meeting or who it, I think, if John, if it works for you to go out to the extension office that night or what you tell me, I guess, so.
I certainly could. I was planning on going to planning and zoning.
You were, okay.
I could
certainly. Because we can.
I'll do one or the other, that's for sure.
Do one or the other. Well, we can't have more than three at one or the other, so. Well, I guess here we could have three at the zoning meeting that we could have that night, but not out there with Nicole and stuff. But she just.
What night's the extension meeting?
The 11th.
Tuesday night, also the 11th, at I think 6 or 6:30.
6 o'clock.
6 o'clock.
I could do that.
You can do that, okay, because she would like a couple of us out there at that. Just she thought this was a great opportunity to visit with. She called it her two supervisors directly above her. So, and she gave names, but I didn't have. I was driving, so I couldn't write them down, and so I don't remember. Maybe she visited with you too, I think, Eric, and stuff, so. Do you remember the name? I don't remember the names at all.
I remembered it was two wheels above her, and that was
two wheels above her. So, and I said, "Great, we'll make sure we have somebody there." So we'll visit and see who it works better to go here at the zoning board meeting that night, and who works for go out there. Law enforcement, emergency management.
Gus, you didn't have much Monday, but you want to talk about the.
Yeah. Good morning. At the meeting Monday, I did give a tentative rough draft of what the engineer had drafted for the west garage bays. And I don't know beyond that how he's supposed to be contacting you guys. I've been working through Dave. He has it drawn up pretty well so far. He's still working on some little stuff, but the only thing that I would make mention, sitting here listening today on the roof bids, the way he has that designed, which is the only way he could do it, is if we put a doorway in there where there's supposed to be one kind of existing now, he has, I think, a bump up in the roof as we go up steps and into the jail level. So that might make a little difference in that one spot on the roof. I don't know. It's just something to keep in mind. I hadn't had a chance to talk to Dave about that, if that makes much of a difference to the bidders or not, but that's kind of the way it looks. Did you saw that, didn't you, Dave?
Yes.
Yeah. So, anything you want to add to that, or?
Well, I don't think it would change the roof too much. It would be just a small structure,
right,
to
accommodate.
So, I think that would be. I don't know when this will happen, but I would recommend. You know, we kind of deal with that. I would mention to the who we award the bid to, but I don't know if we could plan ahead for it. Just do it after. After the roof is done, just to make any changes.
Well, and do the roof, the people that will do the roof, do they need the weather so warm, I guess? You know, because if they do, they're not going to be doing it right away. I don't know. I have no idea.
I can't answer that. They can do it in fairly cold weather. I don't know what the shutoff date is on that.
Yeah.
I know Skyline said that they were going to be here at 9:30, so.
Good question to maybe ask them then.
Yeah.
That's all I had was on the roof, unless there's something else that we discuss about the main topic.
Not pertaining to you, but emergency management water line was broken.
Oh, yeah.
On the rural water district. The line goes from the city of Wymore well to the water tower out east. The only reason I know about it, I'm the last one on the line. Anyway, at first when I was notified, I think they thought the structure was damaged underneath the river, okay? And they said that would be up to a two-week fix, you know, to get, because at the time, the river was way up to its banks and over. I think the next day when they did get a good inspection of it and the water recessed a little bit, it was not under the river. It was an outlier on the bank someplace over, I don't know what the reason was it for, but I think fairly, I mean, it's worked, it's being filled now, probably full right now, I think. But I know they issued a boil drinking water to, if you're going to drink the water, but otherwise it's probably at full capacity right now, I'd say.
Lisa talked a little bit about that Monday. She was in contact with them or had been in contact with them, and they knew that it was in the river location.
Right.
The issue was.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then she mentioned that it was from the wells itself to the water towers. So it wasn't.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. It wasn't.
Yeah.
It was
the one that supplied the tower with water. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And that there were, but then she couldn't be here this morning because she has another meeting downstairs with the area.
But I just know the tank was being filled yesterday already.
Maybe
the day before even, Myron. I think they got the repairs done.
Wow.
It was by Thursday it was supposed to be operational.
I know Scott or somebody.
And I'd guess it's probably full right now as we speak.
Yeah. Somebody did an article on it. I think there was an article in the paper on it, too, they'd had some issues down there or whatever and stuff. So you didn't have full water then? Did you have any?
No.
Well, you didn't even have any water on you.
Well, I mean, for a while.
Yeah.
I thought something froze up because it was cold. All of a sudden, opened the faucet up. Less water. I got water draining in my basement, and I couldn't figure out what was wrong. Pretty soon,
everybody
hardly any water.
Everybody that was wearing red had water.
But anyway, it went down to nothing, you know.
So. You're still under a boil notice, though.
Yep.
Still are.
Yep.
I hadn't heard, but I would assume that'll probably go for
a week or so.
I don't know how long it's
until they know it's. Yeah. Till the testing, usually it's till the testing comes back.
I think I'm at liberty to say this. I do know that they were working with Steve Kelly, and he was helping them work through all that stuff.
Probably.
Steve Kelly from Water Department here in Beatrice. I do know that Steve was helping them work through that and make sure they were covering the bases. So,
one question, maybe somebody on this board knows. What jurisdiction does the NRD board fall under? Or the NRD? Is that state?
I would assume it's state.
Yeah. State?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
okay.
State.
Okay.
Yeah, it'd be interstate. Anything else?
The only other thing that Lisa had a little bit on Monday was the river, and anybody that's been out can see that the tributaries are coming down or are down, and the river has come down quite a bit, so it looks like that is passed for now. So
we usually don't have a flooding issue in December. That's just a very, very uncommon time. But I told somebody, I said, when I drive around the pickup, then whenever 99.5 gives their rain report, I think it was after the weekend or something, but everybody in the area had at least 2 inches and some were up to 275. So that, and then with the snow we had and then the melt of all that snow we had, there was Saturday morning, everything was full of water.
And a minimal amount of it went in the ground, too.
Yes. Yeah.
A minimal amount went in the ground. Unless you have a crop out in the field, and then that soaked that up, yes.
I think Lisa could say that she's probably been blessed with one of the few emergency managers that's ever been blessed with a blizzard and a flood all in the same week.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anything else for law enforcement or Attorney Mangum? Not Road and Bridge.
Myron, I've got a little hard time deciphering this because a different person is writing for me now. So anyway, here we go. Final payment was made on the Odell box culvert for Collins construction, and it was minus the dollar amount that Galen came up. I think it was $4,700 to repair the damage that was done to the road structure at the time. Yeah. Is that what it was, Galen? So it was minus that. Bridge match program round three has come up. Galen's applied for three box culverts, one bridge at Rockford, three culvert sites. Announcement will be in January for the selected projects. Claytonia Bridge, discussion on that one again. How are we going to pay for it, fixing it, or replacing it, I mean. Galen, and this is another issue again coming up. Galen has planned a salt run on Wednesday. Now that it was declared a national day of mourning, he will try to reschedule. Galen did reschedule. The trucks left early this morning. So, because of the holiday from yesterday, not a work day, leave early, no overtime. All right.
And we're going to have Lawrence back up here in a minute. I think it's a good idea so that we can visit back and forth with him. Call out pay and that. So.
Spirited discussion on how do I want to. Not spirited. Discussion on the highway department, transitions, people retirement, replacement. All those type of things. John asked about maybe an engineer to fill some spots if it's needed. He's doing a little checking on that. If it's even worth thinking about, let's put it that way. Discussion on call out, storm conditions, extension of the day, what emergency calls is. For Saturday, there's a scheduled meeting for TP Road on 12/7/18 at the courthouse at 1:30. Myron, Matt, and Eric are planning on attending. County office will be closed 12 p.m. for Christmas. At 12 p.m. for Christmas on the 24th. We'll vote Thursday if closing all day.
That on it was on agenda. Consent agenda to close
off. Consent agenda, okay.
On the 24th, yeah.
And more discussion on this and whenever we do it. County offices were closed per declaration of President Trump and Governor Ricketts as a national day of mourning for President George H.W. Bush. I want everybody to see what's wrote here. A national day of mourning. Okay.
Terry, wasn't the TP Road, I might have misheard you, but the TP Road, that meeting or discussion is Friday at 1:30, right?
Yes.
I thought I heard Saturday.
If I did, I meant Friday at 1:30. That's what it says.
Yeah, just,
on the
just
TP Road, 12/7/18, 1:30.
Your secretarial staff was messing up.
And Terry, one other thing on your secretarial staff. That bridge is in Rockford Township, but it's the bridge between Holmesville and Blue Springs.
Right. And it's been on the list for two or three times now, I think, but never has been called. So, and I want to,
Township.
There's a lot.
I wrote Rockford.
It is Rockford Township.
And one thing for everybody to keep in mind, all these projects are just Gage County. And if I remember correctly, and Gail will correct me if I'm wrong, the total dollars amount out there to be spent throughout Nebraska for projects like this is $4 million. So you can know how far $4 million goes, so the chances of filling even one is hopeful now. I don't know how they can
all the work that has to be done, and they spread this to $4 million total throughout the state of Nebraska. This doesn't make any sense to me, but whatever.
It is a match, I think 55%
right.
or something. So
right.
it's a match, so you're getting twice
right.
that.
I should have mentioned that.
They came up with $40 million, they allocated to that, and then that's over 10 years. So that's why approximately the $4 million every yep. year. That might vary just a little bit, but I mean, that. With, I'll make this comment, though. Without that, we've already had at least two or three projects done.
The Odell North Box Culvert was the first one that's completed.
I thought we had one other one already that we qualified for and got from.
Well, we've got two large culvert projects on round two.
Oh, that next year.
Yeah.
Be completed. Yeah, okay. But, I mean, we've had two that we've been fortunate to get, and I don't
fortunate.
Remember the dollar amount. I think they were both over or right at in the $100,000 neighborhood that the state handed up their share of it. So that that does help the county in that respect that we're getting that much financial
assistance.
But no, it.
But I mean, if you look at the overall picture,
great
$4 million stretched over the state of Nebraska.
It's pretty small.
It's okay.
93 counties divided evenly would be $43,040.
Yeah.
So Galen's come out ahead of the curve on that already
by
a couple
far.
Of years in a row. Hopefully we can keep that up.
Yeah.
Don't take the side of the state, Myron.
I'm not. I'm thankful that we've been able to get the amount of money that we have. Otherwise, without that, there wouldn't be anything here. That we'd be covering that whole cost ourselves, and that'd be another $200,000 plus that the county would be ending up expending or whatever. So, but Lawrence, if you'd come back up here now and go back over some of those things you interested in hearing of that state policy again, if you can pull that back up, because I know I was gone Monday morning, I had to leave, but then I think somebody told me you guys visited about our call. I'll pay again for approximately an hour and a half or 2 hours or something. So, and we've done this quite often.
That is correct.
What is that call out policy again? Where's that written?
Right here.
Yeah, it should be in our handbook, the call-out policy.
Yeah.
Mainly just, you know, the state employees, two of them that I talked to yesterday, they acknowledge holidays and vacation and everything as time worked.
They do not acknowledge those as time worked.
State does.
For holidays.
The state does acknowledge holidays?
Yep.
Okay.
What you're saying is if a holiday falls on a Monday of the work week, then that, in your 40-hour work week, then the state, in their calculations, they're using those 8 hours as worked then towards that 40 hours.
Yep.
So, and where that comes into effect is we're saying that we have to have 40 hours before your overtime kicks in.
40
worked hours.
40 worked hours. So when we don't count the holiday that week, then it's only been 32 hours,
32.
And then the overtime kicks in. Okay.
Yep.
And the state counts holidays but not vacation or sick time or other
time
off.
And there's nothing that says that you can't do that.
Yep.
The law is the worked 40 hours. You can give as much as you want to give.
Yep. But you know, like this morning when they left to go get salt, leave at 4 o'clock, and you know, now they're all saying, but another state law says that anything over 8 hours, you get overtime too. So, it's right here in the statute.
That might
state
be
state
policy. That's not a state law. That might be the state's policy, but not state law.
The state of Nebraska operates under, it's Nathan asked me, so they have a collective bargaining agreement that lays out how they're going to pay people. So they can either do an 880 or a 40 plus.
Yep.
So it depends on how the employee is classified based on their job classification.
But you know, all we're after is, you know, we're not very often do we go do this, same way moving snow, you know. Do we want the public happy or not? You know, do you want us just to work 7 to 3:30, 5 days a week, and not weekends? You know, how often do we go out and lose snow? Not very often.
Not very often, but there's times you do have to go out, and we expect you to go out.
Yes, we do have to go out.
Like I've said before, I would be in favor of making the holidays count as paid time, as hours worked, because
towards the overtime calculation.
You know, because you don't have a choice as to the holiday hits there, and you know, vacation time, sick time, you can schedule as you want it, but holidays just fall.
And this one with President Bush was unplanned, you know.
Yep. So,
you know,
it was for everybody.
We didn't know
very
anything
unplanned.
About it.
Very.
It just happened.
Yep.
And do we want to, like the snow removal, that's an emergency, isn't it, really? Because like Norm Pieper, we had to go get the EMTs there to him.
You guys were already in, though, when you went to go get Norm.
Yes, we were there at 5.
Had that been, I guess in my opinion, had that been one
schedule at 7 o'clock, then it had been 8 o'clock before we'd got to him. So.
Yeah. I mean, something like that, though, I don't think anybody, even under our current call-out policy, had somebody been called in to go out there, I don't think anybody would have had an issue on that because everyone was in already.
And on Sunday when 5 of them came in to get equipment ready and stuff, you know, and now they're saying that was just straight time. And, you know, they were called in.
I have a question on that. Why wasn't the equipment ready Friday?
Well, some of it was. But we had to put the plows on. We didn't know we were going to get that much snow. You know, they had the sanders and stuff on. So, yep, we was prepared.
That question was answered Monday, though, Eric, as far as loading salt in the boxes.
He just said the plows weren't even on.
Well, on the trucks they were, but not on the motor graders. Which we wasn't planning on.
Front snow plow.
Yeah,
the V. Plows were on the trucks.
Trucks had them on.
The lean-tos, under the lean-tos where these trucks are parked, and I've got one at my son's place, that whole lean-to had this much snow that came right in and right on it. So it's not a good policy to load up your salt trucks. You don't know what kind of weather, where that snow is blowing, to have that precipitation on that salt in the back of that truck.
No, I agree with on the salt there, but if the plows weren't on, I'd think that'd be
poor planning.
No,
trucks were all ready, but they were just, we were getting things ready. So, and the way the wind was blowing Sunday, it wouldn't have done any good, really.
Did anybody go out Sunday?
No.
No, nobody went out and bladed snow.
No.
Just change subject real quick, since we're hit on that, there was some discussion on that also, and several of us have fielded questions on that, and we do have a policy of not being out after dark pushing snow,
right.
And I personally think Galen made the right call on that, because the wind didn't start to die down until midday on Sunday. I mean, I was out about 5 o'clock, and it was decent then.
Late afternoon,
but that was darn near dark, and it was late afternoon before. Yeah. So by the time they would have had everything loaded up, ready to go, they would have had maybe a half hour, an hour to run. It just didn't make any sense. It was a good call.
Per se to that also. Everybody, you know, I heard complaints on this also. The state was out. They were out all day. Yeah. You got to remember one thing. The state's probably got a 10 to 15-foot shoulder out there that they can rely on if they're off. And it's easy to get off when you can see nothing in front of you. The county doesn't have that luxury. In most cases, you've got a foot, could have a foot, 18 inches, 2 foot on the newly shouldered roads. Very easy to get off that. Ground was wet. Yep. It would just take one tire off and you'd be in the ditch like that.
Yep.
So that's the other part of that, right?
Sure.
County doesn't go out versus what the state's doing out there.
And I mean, just comment Monday as far as Sunday. You know, it was marginal by the time wind was going down Sunday afternoon. I'd have been all right either way. I'd have been all right if they went out and worked part of a day and some of the roads were clear. But it was Galen's call, and that's the way he called it. And it was a marginal call.
Well, All I can tell you is when we have our next committee meeting, we'll probably have discussion on this again because we cannot make decisions here today not in this part of our agenda.
They just asked me to kind of represent everybody the feelings we have.
Well, we appreciate you coming up and sharing some of that information and sharing the thoughts. I'm sure this will be something that we'll discuss at next committee meeting again. And then if we... because we can't change any part of it, even if we want to change it today, because it's not on the agenda to vote on or anything. So, but we can.
Can I make comments about this?
Yep.
How I see it.
Yep. Because we're still in the Road and Bridge Committee reports. You sure can.
Okay. Call out policy. I think everyone has one or had one there. I want everybody to read the first sentence on that call out policy if you have it in front of you. The very top first sentence. Read that and stop. Then I want to go down below number 4, and everybody put an X through that. That's what I would propose. None of this stuff down below number 4 has anything to do with anything as far as I'm concerned. Roger, you tell me if I'm wrong. Cross out that whole bottom page and read the very top line. That's all I'm asking everybody to do. Huh?
Oh, here. Okay.
Here, you can have that one. It's already crossed out and highlighted for you.
That's just a suggestion.
That's just a suggestion. I want everybody to think about that. That's all it is.
I think two things I would advise the board. Number one, touch base with Ms. Bourne and make sure, because, again, I appreciate Mr. Fossler's information from the state, but as we all know, I'd like to know who it is that they, you know, is making comments in it. There's so many statutes out here that affect labor, and that's why certainly Ms. Bourne is on top of that. Number two, and again, you guys have spent, I don't know, it's not hours. You spent days on this thing since I've been up here. So, again, I'm sure you don't want to hear this, but before you do anything drastic, you know, I think step back with the comments from Mr. Fossler and the current situation that you went through, and see if you want to tweak this.
That's just something I wanted everybody to look at. I'm not saying implement. Okay. That's my suggestion, Roger. I'm not saying this is what we're going to do. I'm just a suggestion. I'd like everybody to look at it personally and see what they think about that idea. And I'm not quite done.
Okay. He'll keep going. John's got his hand in the air, but he'll
okay.
wait.
In the handbook, as of per se... yesterday, what happened?
What page are you on?
I'm on page 36.
Terry, can you wait on that a second?
Because
that ain't, well, that's more than Road and Bridge. I want to. I want to comment. Certainly, we expect you to go out and clean the roads, and we don't want to be in conflict. If we are in conflict with any state statute as to what we're doing, we don't want that to be there. And hopefully, we can, you know, maybe at some point change this a little bit or something. There may be time when you're out and it ain't overtime. And, you know, especially when it's an extension of the day and, you know, for whatever reason, you've taken a couple of days off or whatever, that might not be overtime, but we do expect the roads to be cleaned. I'm done.
Now I can go.
But I think
Matt's got something here.
Can we just pay these people? This is a low volume item. This is a 24-hour operation. We can't predict when the snow is going to come. We sit here and chase this rabbit about 3 or 4 times a year. Every day. It's low volume. If we got an issue with the way that it's being administered, we should talk to Galen about it. Yep. These employees are getting all hours of the day, weekends outside their normal activities, holidays. We've looked at this before, and we've seen the dollar amount that we sit here and do this for, and it's about the employer-employee relationship and whether or not you value your employees. This is a low-volume item. They're out there doing stuff that probably only one or two of us on this board can actually do. I just don't think it's worth continuing to beat them and ourselves in the head over. We should work with them on this.
And we do beat ourselves up a lot on this, but we also need to have the same set of rules for everybody.
And like I commented,
But go back here. Apparently we don't, because that set of rules you see right there says for highway department personnel.
Yeah, we do.
Yep.
Okay?
Yep.
So don't ask about the same set of rules for everybody, because it's right there. These are just for the highway personnel. Okay?
Eric, Yep.
I guess in my mind, the call out or the on, I look at that as an on call policy, so it only affects the people that are on call. It doesn't even really apply to the snow or anything else. If we want to have something for weather, talking to some of the highway department employees, there used to be something that was just, if it was weather related issues or weather related emergency, they were at time and a half or something like that. If we want to implement something like that, even, I don't think anyone has a problem with it. The way things are written, it doesn't really apply. So if it's snow operations outside, I mean, we could make something really easy. Weather related items outside of normal scheduled hours are at time and a half. That would take care of everything. Anything early, anything late, all of it would be at time and a half.
Okay. I messed up here. We're gonna. Well, no, it was a timed event for Wednesday. It wasn't a timed event for Thursday at 9:30.
Oh. Let's do it.
I got to give her a bad time.
Yeah, let's do it.
That's not. I mean, we'll come back to that discussion after a bit. We do have a timed event at 9:30.
Outside, they said it used to be like that.
So we'll come back to that. I let it go 6 minutes past here because it's 9:36 on the clock. We do have a timed event at 9:30. And that's to close, accept, reject, or award bids for roof on detention facility. So at this time, I will entertain a motion to close all bids.
I'd move to close the bids.
Second.
Motion by Byers, seconded by Juergens. Vote 7-0 in favor. Now, we had a couple, I guess, and any can.
Well, it's law enforcement, right? Does Gary do it?
Gary, that's all law enforcement. Yeah, I was thinking buildings and grounds, but law enforcement.
I don't know. It could be either way.
Either one.
I didn't know who.
All right, so it looks like two bids.
And just to bring everybody back up to date, I think, Dave, you want to talk a little bit about right now, you kind of have insurance companies been informed about this, and they are working with
Crest
to do
yes.
this.
This did occur because of hail damage in the past. We don't know exactly when. We did start getting some leaks, and so after Skyline looked at it to repair we had three damage spots, so they repaired those. And that was when they had informed me that we had other damage, too. So at that time, we did get a hold of NIRMA. They came down, looked at it, asked what it would cost. They wanted a bid for repair work. And that was Skyline was there also and explained how there's so many issues with the hail damage that we would have repairs all over the place. And NIRMA did agree for us to get bids and that they would cover a certain amount of the cost.
Yes. So we're working with the insurance company, and they have agreed to pay.
Yes.
I think that needs to be made sure people realize that. A good share of this cost.
NIRMA's agreed to pay for something?
Yeah.
I just was giving you credit.
Go ahead. Yeah.
You do, George.
Those bids should be broke down to where there should be a bid for replacing the roof, and then we had two options on it. One was for a subsurface to give it more strength.
Dave, it appears as though both of these packets are the same. They're both from Skyline. Looks like they're the same bid.
Okay. Received an email too.
Okay. The one I had, I received it as an email. Since we were closed yesterday, I asked them to send it, and I had it time-stamped.
So we have one bid.
So it appears as though, yes, we have one bid from Skyline. Total amount is $65,565.21.
Is the other one cheaper?
$65,565.21.
Right? Correct.
Well played, Dave.
$65,565.21.
Yep. Same.
I suggest we take the first one.
And that is That is for, and I think we have the representatives for that here. That is for, that does not include the subsurface that Dave talked about. That is just for the replacement of the so-called part that's been damaged or whatever. We had a question came up earlier, and since you guys are here now, this project or when, what type of weather can you do this in? Can you do it today? I mean, or so it is feasible to go ahead and do that.
We actually enjoy doing it in the winter sometimes because if it would snow, we can scoop it off. If it rains, it would pour in. So the winter's actually
terrible.
Don't ask the guys, but
I've had them put roofs on for me, both at home and in our church, and they do an excellent job.
Right. Not included.
The son does. The father is.
Roger, do we have any issue with the company submitting multiple bids?
They're exactly the same. They're exactly the same.
I wanted to be sure.
No. Yeah. They want to be sure. We thank you for that. We appreciate that.
Yeah. And I don't know if we want to discuss this now or there is two additionals. Option one, we've had this discussion a little bit already. The deck cell, quarter inch over entire roof surface, the new system would have an impact rating of 4. And I don't know if you want to explain that or if, Dave, if you want to explain that. But that's
I would like to use
that option would be $17,950. Option two is taper insulation, upper west roof. This is priced with ISO insulation, taper system. If the deck cell is being installed, we could install an EPS system and in turn reduce this price by $2,000. But that's $19,750 for that second option.
And that was recommended with that Duralast roof. We've had really good luck with it until we did have this hailstorm. And what had happened, there's a foam board underneath that. So if it's, you know, pretty good sized piece of hail, it impacts. It actually can sink down into that foam where this deck cell would stiffen it up. So it should make it more hail resistant. And I guess I would like for Anthony to maybe explain more on, I don't know if this would extend, well, it wouldn't extend our warranty, but it would probably extend the life of the Duralast roof.
He'll have to come up to the microphone if he's going to do that, Dave.
And we just need a name and address for the record.
Yep.
Anthony Thiner with Skyline office here in Beatrice, Lincoln, and over in Steiner. With the impact resistant in the deck cell, the main reason why you're going to do that is to give we're going to go with a 50 mil membrane. You can get different thicknesses, but with a 50 mil membrane, when you put the deck cell on, it basically gives you a hardback surface, and then in testing, that's what gives you your impact your rating. An impact resistant rating of 4 is considered hail resistant in the industry, which, you know, asphalt shingles, same thing. It's an impact resistant rating. Once again, if the hail's 2.5 inches, even with deck cell, it may not be. It still could cause the same damage. It's all going to be based on size of hail. The biggest thing that I always say is you need to check with your agent, with NERMA, and find out if you can get a discount. A lot of impact-resistant systems will give you a discount on your premium. So in that case, then the system could pay for itself. You know, if you get a 20% discount on that roof over there, maybe over 7 years, it pays for that $17,000. That's the biggest thing I always tell people to check into, more so than anything. But, yeah, up there, essentially, you're low, and that's why we looked at taper insulation, because when you have ponding water, Duralast warranty is the only manufacturer on the market where ponding water doesn't affect its warranty. The base warranty, which is how we set this up, is a 15-year labor and material. On the bid op, you guys called for a 10-year, but 15-year is standard. We can look into pricing to up that because we are putting a 50 mil on. We could do a 20-year even, but there is an additional charge for 20-year. So you are set for 15-year anyways. It's just that always excludes any act of God, wind, hail, et cetera. But the taper insulation in low-lying areas, when the system sits in ponding water, it can cause the material to brittle, per se, make it more brittle, and then that becomes more receptive to hail damage. So as far as deck cell versus taper, taper is probably the better thing to get the water off the roof, but none of it's going to affect the system for your 15-year mark. It's more so it all falls on, is it going to hail or not? that's always how it is. And then in a hail situation, just like this one, work with the right insurance company, the right contractor, et cetera. It's going to be paid for again by insurance. That bid number matched the exact approved amount that I had sent to the insurance company that he was okay to pay. That's why our number was what it is. So less your deductible, they're paying that amount.
Anthony, do I understand right then that the taper or the deck cell is an either or? It's not, you can't use the two in conjunction?
You can use both. The deck cell is a cover board, so it goes on the very top. So we could taper and not put any cover board, and your taper is just your insulation. Why I say ISO? Because ISO has a fiberglass top to it, so it makes it a little more sturdier than EPS. But if you're going to do a cover board and you do it both, there's no reason to pay an extra $2,000 in materials to put ISO on versus an EPS.
So the bid for replacing the roof the way it sits today is $65,565.21.
Correct.
Then the board here has the option of deciding whether we want to do option one or option one and option two.
Yep, or just option two.
It or can just be option both two. Or, we have those three.
Yep.
We have those three options. Option one is the deck cell for $17,950. Option two is the taper insulation for $19,750. So we have the option of doing one, two, or one and two together. So we have three different options that we could decide to do. Or option number four is not due to either one of them.
Yep. And I did make a small note in there just to bring to your attention. Once we are awarded the contract, the first step is to because it's a county building, does it fall under the city building codes?
Permit.
And permit.
Say yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So the first step is we go talk to them because in the past on certain buildings based on tear off, we can take the top layer off and put it right back on, which is what the insurance company wanted us to attempt to do first. Obviously, it is possible. It's just it has to be approved by code. If it ain't approved, then it would be a full tear off. Price would go up, but we would work with the insurance company, go back to them, tell them this is what it's going to cost to meet the code restrictions that they want to do, and then they essentially it's still covered cost by insurance company. We just have to make that step first before we actually put it on.
And you did bring that up to Bill when Bill was here.
Yep.
We had talked about
they're aware
that.
Of that also. Yeah.
And then also on there, two open items on that bid is a $0 item. The reason I call it that is because Bill agreed to this too is let's say it freights in at probably about $850. We submit that as a supplemental to the insurance company. They pay you guys, you pay us. It'd be a change order, but still no cost. And same thing with the permit. We provide a cost for the permit. They pay you guys, you pay us. It'd be additional beyond that amount, but it's no cost item.
And Bill at NIRMA is aware of that.
Yes.
Okay. Matt, you got a question.
So how much is the insurance going to pay on this?
What is your deductible, do you know?
I don't know.
$5,000?
Five or ten.
I thought we had $5,000 on structures.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'd have to look,
so 60.
Go in and look at it.
So let's use $5,000, and the easiest way to say it is forget the numbers. They're paying everything but $5,000.
Right, unless we go with option.
Unless you go with the options, yep.
Unless option one or two. Those will come out of the county's fiscal responsibility.
And then if we go with those other options, will insurance then cover us at a higher amount? So if they, because now if you do like the steel roofs, the percentage they reimburse is left, like on a domestic home, or do we just replace what was there before, get 10 years out of it?
That's a good question. Once again, I would talk to the agency if you're going to get a discount for an impact rated system. Because if you are, that makes that advantageous.
And for your company, can we approve the $65,000 today and then tell you in 2 weeks on one and two?
I think that'd be fine. Yeah, because we could go ahead and put the order in for the material, and it's just the insulation we're talking underneath, so that's an add-on anyways. I can start talking to the building.
The only reason I say that is because without visiting with insurance company, we don't know what they will or how they will. Those coverages will be affected.
Absolutely.
We provided notification how long ago, but to submit bids.
I think it was almost a month now.
Yeah.
So all I'm saying is we've got one company that's interested in working with us. So we should work with these folks.
Yeah.
Well, nobody else is in. Someone comes back and says, well, if I'd have known option. You didn't even come to the table.
And I would say just on our behalf, we have worked with you guys from the beginning, and we could have just patched stuff and walked away, but we made sure your roof was taken care of because we were the ones that put it on the last time.
Okay. And, I mean, is that something that we can do? I mean, if that's agreeable with them, that if we would agree to reject or accept that the bid of the $65,000 and then leave the other two options open yet for 2 weeks and then approve them in 2 weeks?
Any upgrade you would have on a structure that you're working on, plus it's under $20,000.
Either one of them are. Yes.
Are you comfortable with the dollars in your maintenance budget?
You may not do it, but unless we know from the insurance company.
Take care of any other items that come up. But that would be separate dollars for the courthouse improvement. What about the if you'd want to go with any additional options?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, we have money left over on the courthouse side.
We can decide not to do either one of them today, too, if we want to.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The
yep.
Sheriff's mm-hmm. budget.
And then still visit with the insurance company.
Sheriff's budget always has tons of money in it.
However you want to do it.
What are the real advantages to it? If it's just $2,000 discount, that's nothing.
No.
Mm-hmm. One you could probably make a decision on would be the tapered insulation. Do you want to tape? And Dave could explain it more. Like, you do got a pretty good pond up there. Once again, we're putting on a system that's okay with that. It's never suggested, but it's they're not. It doesn't affect their warranty. Now, if you guys go put a TPO or an EPDM, you would not be able to get a warranty in the first place because there is ponding water. Duralast has done its testing that knows, hey, we're fine for 15 years with that ponding water sitting there. That's why we like. That's why we're using this product. But taper, that isn't. The insurance ain't going to help you make a decision on that. It's do you want to get that water off the roof better or not? That's kind of the taper decision.
The taper insulation basically is going to make sure that we don't have the ponding. Basically, that's going to build up certain areas so that it drains.
There's mainly just one area that it's on the west side that when it does, if it's snow melt or rain, I know it holds probably at least 500 gallons. Will just sit there on top.
Do we have area drains, or are they all edge drains?
There is three interior drains and one scupper. And when you taper it, we're tapering it at a quarter inch per foot, and then we have to use crickets to force the water back from that one direction, and that's at a half inch per foot. That tapers.
The tapered insulation option here is $19,750.
Is that live crickets or dead crickets?
Dead crickets.
Okay.
Yeah. They're dead.
Good. We good. Good. Good question. I'm proud of you. I was about to go there, but hey,
they don't move.
So, what are advantages? Okay, the taper. Obviously, that's an advantage because 500 gallons would be about 5,000 pounds of water sitting on that roof, roughly.
That's been sitting there for 20 years. Yeah. So, is it causing your building a problem? At this time, no. Is that building going to sit there for 800 years? Or are you planning on a 30-year plan? I always relate everything to money. Plain and simple, it's to money. So, it reverts to hail. If it wouldn't hail and be Beatrice on that building for 30 years, I can tell you I've seen our Duralast membrane on roofs for 30, 40 years with no problems. So to make it that way, you want to get the water off so you don't brittle it and decrease the life. But we all know hail, too. Is it going to hail sometimes the next 15 years? If it is, then that's why we pay for insurance. Use it. Get it fixed when that happens.
So the advantage of DexCell then, what is the advantage of the DexCell? The taper I get, but what's...
DexCell just essentially, imagine soft foam insulation. A hailstone hits, it's an inch and a half. It's going to compress into the insulation, which puts more strain on the top membrane. DexCell is like a hardboard. So it's like drywall, OSB, et cetera. It's just a really hard board. So when that hits, it's a bounce. So when you get that half inch, 1 inch, inch and a half, you know, the hail that may not cause that damage that would get the roof bought, per se, in a hail situation, it's going to protect that membrane. Where if it's 2.5-inch hail, it's not going to matter. It's going to break no matter what your back surface is because we're talking about fine strands that are tied at a knot everywhere. It's going to crack it. If it's cold out, it's going to cause more damage because it's brittle when it's cold. The thing about Duralast, it doesn't leak the next day. Like, we don't know when this hailstorm was. It could have been 2 years ago. It could have been 8 years ago. But over freeze-thaw cycles, back and forth, the membrane has worked its way. Now it's cracking. Now it can let water in.
Which was surprising. We have a lot of damage that we didn't know about, and we only had the 3 leaks. But after we had washed the roof, we saw, you know, a lot of them.
Yeah.
Well, it looks to me, Myron, personally, the taper insulation seems like that would probably be a good idea. The deck cell, I mean, you're going to spend $18,000 to try and save $2,000 on insurance. So, I mean, do we want to have this hardened roof that's going to protect? I mean, 2.5-inch hail, that's a pretty good event. I mean, not always that care. I mean, so you might be protected if you by putting that on. Yes.
And once again, I've...
It's 2.5-inch hail.
Huh?
It won't protect against 2.5-inch
hail. No, it won't. That's what I'm saying, but that's a pretty big... 2.5-inch hail doesn't happen every summer.
And why I say check with your insurance company is because it's always different. State Farm ran a policy 4 years ago where they gave you 50% off for 2 years. So a lot of times things were getting paid for in 2 years. But now it's more of a 20% savings over 10 or 20% over the life of the roof. It all depends. Is it worth it? You got to do that cost analysis to see.
Well, and we can go ahead and approve one or the other or both here, but and like if you, I'll make this comment. If you don't want to approve the Dexcel today, that's fine. We can still visit with them and decide to come back in 2 weeks and maybe accept it because if the cost is zero over 10 years, I mean, if they give you 20% credit or whatever on this over 10 years and that basically pays for it, then it's a different perspective of, yeah, let's go ahead and do it because it's not going to cost us anything over those 10 years.
Yeah, exactly.
Anthony, that Dexcel, that's not unique to this one membrane, though. When you peel this off in 15 years when it's bad, that product, the slope foam, that material, plus that Dexcel is still reusable. It'll just be recovered with another membrane. So, I mean, that doesn't go away on the next roof either.
As long as the city allows it in its code. General code is you can't have more than 2 layers on a roof. If you have 1 layer, you could go directly over top it with a second layer. Right now, you originally had like a tar and gravel roof. We were able to put foam over that and put the Duralast on back when this bid originally went and saved a bunch of money because, once again, Duralast is one of the few systems that has recover options versus full tear-offs. Now, if the city comes at us this time, the building committee comes back and says we have to tear it off, well, then we'll be starting from scratch from the what the deck is now. And then, yeah, same idea. When you go on at that next layer, the insulation doesn't have to come off.
So I'm going to arm wrestle with you a little bit here. I think we should go with 100% of what the insurance is going to pay. If we're talking about the roof and 10 years on that building, we got a lot bigger expenses we're going to be looking at if we're still messing around with that. And the other thing is we're talking about just a little bit before not wanting to pay employees, but we're looking to upgrade a roof that may not even be there in 10 years.
Well, make a motion.
I'm saying a motion to approve whatever the insurance will cover 100% and just move forward. Upgrading so we get 20 years on it. If we're talking about this building in 10 years, the roof's going to be our cheapest expense.
Yeah.
Plus deductible.
All right.
Well, there's a short game we can play, or we can try and play for the long game. And at this point,
I'll second your motion.
For the what's the amount?
That was $65,565.21. That's what we know today. The insurance will cover.
Do we need to accept?
So we have a motion. Just a minute. We have a motion by Bauman and seconded by Byers to pay for. To do the part of the $65,565.21.
Can I make a comment here?
To accept that and approve that. Now, John?
I think the other two options should be left on the table and see what our insurance does do.
Yeah.
Because if we don't have them, I mean, if the insurance is going to cover it, we probably should go ahead and do it.
And they won't cover those items. Those had to be broke up separate because they won't.
But I mean, if the premium is reduced enough that it pays for it over a period of time,
we'll leave that option open once Dave and Don have a chance to visit with them. And we can come back in 2 weeks and we'll leave that option open. And if we need to, then we'll put that on the agenda and we'll be in contact with you, Dave, or somebody will, and let you know if we decide to approve that.
Okay. Does that have to be part of that motion that's still on the table?
No.
Okay.
You're good with leaving the other two on the table. See what our insurance says.
If it doesn't cost us any more, I don't think we should put any more money in that building than we need.
Well, your motion was to approve what the insurance will pay for.
Right, and we're working with one company. If we decide to do something, nobody else came to the table. This was a bid out there for a month. Anybody that was interested could have stepped up, and it would have got more complicated.
His motion was to accept that bid.
$65,000.
So you want to be specific on that, not what the insurance company can pay. Yeah. I mean, everybody's got all these conversations and stuff with Mr. Hill, and I have no doubt it's going to work that way, but you want your motion specifics.
The motion was to
accept the bid.
Accept the bid that the insurance will pay for today, which we know is the $65,600.
Accepting the bid.
Leave
the insurance company out.
Okay,
just the motion then is that. Skyline. Okay.
For the $65,000. That's what we know today. They're going to pay for it.
Is that your understanding, Denny? Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
And then if we want to do anything further than that, that's
we'll
still
fine. That we'll have to find out, and it would have to, yeah.
That's right. We have those.
And we will have to bring that back in 2 weeks. If we want to do anything else, we'll have to bring back in 2 weeks after our discussion.
What is your schedule
Okay.
Probably about 3 weeks out.
3 weeks. Okay. We do have a motion to accept that bid for $65,565.21. We have a motion and a second.
Buyers,
right? And a second by buyers. Any more discussion? Vote. 7-0 in favor.
Then that was to accept and award the bid, right?
Accept and award the bid, yeah. Yes.
Never heard the word award.
And if you decide you want to contribute that to the county, that'd be fine.
We need to sign it or not.
Well, so in 2 weeks, we will come back with and approved by the city, approved.
You'll know that.
So, yeah. So just plan on having Dave on there, because if a change order is needed at that time, we'll present that for approval, that dollar amount.
Okay.
Thank you.
Now, Myron, can I speak?
Yes.
Because we're going right back to this conversation we were on, right?
Going Road and Bridge, yep.
Yeah. I take exception to Matt's comment. There isn't anybody on this board that is wanting to not pay our employees. And I think the one thing that irritates me about this discussion that we have had numerous times, and I think you could go to this last Sunday as a good example. We discuss all of this stuff tirelessly, and it amounts to even smaller amounts than the $3,000 you're talking about, because this Sunday, the guys that worked, I think, from what I'm told, all had 40 hours in, so they all got time and a half. Didn't matter if it was called call-out pay or regular pay or whatever, they got time and a half pay.
Most of them did. I can't be 100% positive. I
think we should be careful in saying that nobody wants to pay our employees, because we all want to be fair with everybody.
I'll temper my comments that we don't want to pay them with respect to that, but I'm sick and tired of not paying these gentlemen for call-out stuff. It's a small ticket item.
Yep.
We spent 30 minutes talking about adding to a roof after we knew what the 100% was going to pay on insurance. So I didn't mean to offend anybody and speak on behalf of the board about not paying them, but I still hold true with my comments about the amount of money sometimes that we arm wrestle each other over, and then we skip right over and try to spend more money someplace else when we don't need to.
Right.
I agree with that. I didn't explain it very well, so I apologize for that.
Byron?
Terry?
Go back to this also. Another, when two employees clock in the clock will fall under call-out policy. Two employees or more, I think, should be added into that, too, because there's times when two employees, it says right here, if you want to get nitpicky like we've been doing, when two employees, it says two there. I mean, there might be more than two, okay?
There could be.
And that could be nitpicky. Well, we're only going to play two of them. What two are we going to pay?
No, Terry, in response to that, this really is written towards call out for emergency, not for snow, not for anything else. So snow is
not an emergency.
Well, if we want to do...
I got into this yesterday. The 10-foot drift, is that an emergency?
Well,
Gary said yes. Okay, so a 2-inch drift is not an emergency. Who's going to make that call?
Well, I don't even think that's this. That would be snow. I mean, this is more geared towards when I wrote this, we have one employee on call, and then when he gets called in, he calls a helper. This is really specifically written towards that for, like, the examples that were brought up the other day, a tree's down on the road, a storm, water over the top.
I understand we talked about all that, but to me, if you want to get in, that's what you're saying. Does that everybody else say there's two employers are going to get paid for call out? That's the way I read it. You can see it both ways.
It could be more. It could be more.
What does it say that in there, though?
Yeah, it just, probably needs to change.
Just think about it. That's all I'm asking.
Think about and Lawrence, take this back to those guys and let them know what kind of discussions we've had up here. I know Galen's told them too and stuff.
But Myron, I really think if we want to do something for snow policy or for this, I guess is more towards that. Here's two guys going to fix a specific emergency. If we want to have something that's crew-wide, because snow is highway department-wide.
Well, you could make it real simple and easy. When they get called out to go push snow, then it's overtime.
All I want you to do is read the top paragraph. Top sentence is all you need to read. That's really that all has to be on this page.
And I might have less sympathy because, I mean, I do push snow. And when
everybody
snows,
does.
And we go.
And I'll agree
everybody
with a lot
does.
Of the conversation here today. We will have this conversation again in committee meetings in 2 weeks. Okay? And then if we're going to have a policy change, then we'll need to have that on our board meeting in 2 weeks.
I suggest
so
we move on.
Today.
We're not making a decision today. One other thing I want to talk about is yesterday. Is now the time to talk about it?
We're done with the other part until our committee meeting.
No, let's keep going. Come on.
No, we're not.
We're not. We won't solve anything.
The reason when Don said it's a law, the only law that I see is in the handbook. Is that correct, Don?
I said it's in the handbook, yeah.
I understood you said it was law.
No.
Maybe I misunderstood you. Okay, it's in the handbook.
No.
In that one sentence, it says, all days declared by law or proclaimed by president or governor to be a holiday. That's an approved holiday. Yesterday was a day of mourning, the way I understand it.
And I double-checked.
It depends on how you call it.
Right. No,
I'm not done yet.
Well, I just double-checked with the labor.
I'm not done yet.
Okay.
I think below that sentence there should be declared a holiday if it is okayed by the Board of Supervisors. Yesterday, Thayer County was open. Johnson County was open. Jefferson County was open. Lancaster County was open.
Okay?
And
holiday was declared.
Were those all, and I'm just asking.
I called the supervisors. Yes, they were open.
No. Maybe it was the whole courthouse open. Because, see, the courts were open.
And they're getting paid for it, right?
I have no
idea. Yeah, they are, Roger.
Well, I mean, but I don't know how they're getting paid.
They're getting paid extra for it.
I would assume it was holiday pay. But.
Correct.
The bottom line is.
It was a holiday.
You had a situation where, like, even here, both courtrooms were open. Now, Judge Tim is normally not here on a Wednesday.
Okay.
He's over in Johnson County. But Judge Schreiner was on the bench. We had like 20, 30 cases.
Yeah.
And because that courtroom was open, our office was open, obviously, because we have some attorneys up there and nobody has any fun. I'm trying to think who else was probation. They were also required to be open.
So, you deal with that.
So, and that's one of the only reasons I don't know when people say our offices were open. Was the courthouse closed? But the offices were open. And like, you know, and I'm just asking that.
I just want to go a little further. Yesterday was the nicest day of the week. Would have been an ideal time for patrol operators, got unthawed out on the roads, to go out and shape up some of the roads. To get the ruts out, get the ruts moved. That day is gone.
Today it's ruts.
Can't do it anymore. Okay?
You could also add Saturday or Sunday as the day of mourning.
Can't work overtime, though. You know, so anyway. Let me finish, and then I'll shut up.
Yeah.
And I'll be done for the rest of the day, and I'll go home. To me, I want to go on record. I was not in favor of closing the courthouse yesterday. Okay? I took a lot of guff over that, too. And it isn't like everybody closed. You had the banks opened. Schools were open.
Yeah.
All these other entities. City Beatrice is open. But Gage County elects to close it. To me, I mean, that's just dead wrong way it happened. I want to add to that deal if it's okayed by the Board of Supervisors
I had conversations with a Pawnee County Supervisor, and I don't know what they ended up doing, but he had talked to a Johnson County one, and in their handbook, they did have in there that under, and I can't tell you it's that line, but Johnson County does have in their handbook decision being made by the elected officials or county board. So they had that option. And here, the way I look at that, I'm not a lawyer, but if you look in that, we do not have that in there, that line or that wordage, that pending approval by the county board or the elected officials. Yeah.
Well, and this is the way I guess I would view it is this board controls the courthouse.
Yes.
Okay? And I'm not, this is going to sound bad. I control my office. If at 3 o'clock on Friday I've had enough, we're going out.
You're closing your office.
You know, hit the time clock and we're leaving.
Yep.
You guys can call me and give me heck about that, but you can't force me to stay. And I think that's what Terry's probably getting to and you're getting to is
right.
We try and coordinate. And I, quite frankly, I think a lot of people were surprised when he made that proclamation. I'm not criticizing it.
I'm not either.
That was the best thing. We should have done something in recognition. But, you know, as with a lot of things the president does, we all scratch our head a little bit and say, could we have done a National Day of Mourning on Saturday? And then all of a sudden, you don't have everybody else scrambling.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, the last time this happened, I believe they said was 2007 or something like that, when they had a day of mourning.
Snowstorm in Washington.
No, president.
Oh, no, president. For the presidential day of mourning.
Oh,
the last time that we had, I thought I heard it on one of the news reports was in 2007, the last time this happened. So this is another thing we're talking about.
I can't add one more thing.
No, you said you were done.
I want to add one more thing now. I'm not saying it isn't appropriate to pay him respect. He was a president.
Yeah.
I'm just saying you don't need a day off to do that. Okay.
We'll have that discussion again at committee meetings, and that's something that if you want to bring forward and change, we'll have to have that at a board. We'll have to have that and decide at a board meeting and vote to change it.
There were other counties that were closed. We had emails from other counties, and if you want to look at the same statute that Lawrence alluded to, the state statute 84-1001 says that exact same thing. For purposes of this section, paid holidays shall include all of the days enumerated in section 25, 22, 21, and all days declared by law or proclamation of the president or governor to be holidays.
But that's also in regards.
Did they call this a holiday yesterday? Did they call it a day of mourning?
I checked with. That's what I needed to find out. So I checked.
But in the information I got, it says day of mourning.
Federal guideline. Guidance issued by the Chief Human Capital Officers Council, Wednesday is supposed to be treated as a holiday for pay and leave purposes. Because I confirmed that.
But there's nothing to say that we can't add another line in there and go, that has to be decided.
One more thing, Matt.
No, you're done.
There we go. Just because the federal government, do we need to follow the federal government's actions in Gage County? Okay, that's all I'm going to say.
Terry, are you sure?
I'm done. All of Lancaster was open, though. Lancaster
all of Lancaster was.
It was a great day for hauling. They were stockpiling material, so the whole highway department up there.
Okay,
working.
Next item on the agenda. We're moving on.
They could have put that under essential services.
I'm sorry?
The statute, like essential services, are exempted.
Yeah.
And I'm just throwing that out. Again, I'm not what the governor and the president do. That obviously, they don't call and check and see what Terry thinks about.
I like Terry's idea. More work, less holiday.
If I can make a motion to beat a dead horse.
Yes.
We need a second on that?
Yeah.
I still want
We're not voting. Okay, next item on the agenda. Approve or disapprove resolution certifying proper completion of project for County Bridge Match Program Agreement. In parentheses, C00340131-5, C00640-3655, and C00491-3710.
Move to approve.
Resolution 18-27.
Second.
Motion by Thiemann, seconded by Hill. And this is, and those three numbers are listed there not because those are all in our county. That's because this was bid as with other counties, and that's why those are all listed there. We have to have our paperwork done and in, though, and I have this agreement resolution in there so that whole project can be then finalized.
You get too much sleep last night, Terry?
I slept well.
Honors
not wearing out. That shirt again. If he comes in with it, you guys take it off of him, okay?
He's thirsty, though.
Them people south of the border, they're just, yeah. Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Vote? 7-0 in favor. Next item on the agenda, approve or disapprove 2019 Community-Based Juvenile Services Aid Grant and authorize chairman to sign. And I see Christina here.
I'd make a motion to approve.
Yep, that'll help.
Second.
We have a motion by Byers and a second by Lytle.
Bauman.
Yeah. Matt. I know, and I knew it was over here. I just wrong name.
Should have put a purple shirt on. He kept talking. Then you'd have known.
Christina, go ahead.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Christina Lyons, 320 North 5th, Beatrice, Nebraska, for the record. This grant is something I do every year. It's the result of the Gage County Juvenile Justice Comprehensive Plan that is every 3 years. We submitted the last one in June of 2018. This grant, the money that they gave us this year is a decrease from, I think, $76,000 from last year. And this year we have $68,439. Of that, you can see on page 4, if you have your copies, the breakdown is $13,000 for juvenile diversion, $18,963 for the coalition. Both of those are payment to me for what I do. Coalition coordinator, grant writer, training. I'm doing a lot of suicide prevention training these days. And Youth Thrive training, $28,976 to the truancy program, $5,000 to alternatives to detention, and $2,500 to restorative justice or a victim offender mediation. The match of $7,600 is already spent, money that's already spent in juvenile court in Gage County, and falls within those guidelines. Anybody have any questions?
Yes. You said the amount was less this year. That wasn't because you turned it in less. It's just because that's the amount that they decided on.
That's the amount they decided on. I have no idea why they changed that from year to year. But we use our full grant every year. Last year we had, at the end of May, beginning of June, we had a lot that we hadn't spent on the programs that I had put it towards. And so we bought a lot of training materials. We did some Bridges Out of Poverty training, and but we did spend it all.
Yep. Could we have any of that money back for the Sheriff's Department for resource officer?
Yeah.
We talked about that one time. He's trying to get a resource officer between several of the schools, and with the high suicides and the drugs and everything else, I didn't know if there was a place where you'd be able to apply for some grant money or somehow help the Sheriff's Department fund a resource officer.
Looking for some grant money under this particular grant. They like to fund programs that are evidence-based. That hasn't been proven or evidence-based yet, but we'll look at some other grants to do that.
The Sheriff's Department is good with evidence. We have whole buildings full of it. So.
And Main Street.
Don't worry about the water getting in.
So one grant that Russ and I talked about is a COPS grant for the Sheriff's Department for the school resource officer, same grant that the city has for their school resource officers in town, requires a match, though. So a lot of those types of grants are going
dollar to. Dollar for dollar match?
I'm not sure what the percentage is.
And Eric, I would tell you that the community justice program, yeah, has put a lot of work, and particularly Christina, in getting keeping these grants going. We have some programs that are, you know, quite frankly, model programs with both the high school and, well, the middle school in Beatrice has a group that are working with the suicide issue. The kids are doing a great job, and now it's transitioning into the high school already this year.
Yes.
They already got teams, and I think they're going to go online in January.
So
there's some really neat stuff happening in regard to that.
I know you've been really good with these grants and receiving them. I've seen them go up each year, it seems like. If there is anything you come across, please contact the sheriff.
Because, I absolutely will.
They have done a lot of relationship building between the high school and now the junior high with that officer.
And we're working with another Region 5 program to reach out to the rural schools. I think that is a good start. They're going to fund some Third Millennium, which is a substance abuse prevention type of program. They can work with some substance abuse infractions, I would call them. And I think that's a good foundation to our school resource officer. So we'll make it happen.
That Third Millennium program, I think that's something we're going to look at integrating in with our diversion program,
yes,
keeping kids out of the court system even more.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and this is a 90-10 match, so that the 10% is the 7604, which we are matching.
Which is already money spent in the juvenile court.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So. Any more discussion? Vote. 6-0 in favor. Anything else for the meeting? Oh,
sure.
This one too. I'd say
oh,
two.
I actually have something else just to bring attention.
Because he said he's not going to talk anymore.
So. This is more for Gail and Pry. They said 94th Road between, I heard 94th Road between Liberty Blacktop and.
You want me to touch base with the city?
We had gone north.
10% raise, yep, and tell them we go 1.5.
I think probably all the way to the Rockford Blacktop.
It would be the Rockford Blacktop. They said that road was real rough. They said it was starting to.
I hear a lot of.
We lost our crown, is what I heard. I haven't been out there to take a look. They just called yesterday and they said, I get on John. John won't go look at it, and I said, him and I will go take a look. But they said it's starting. They think there's spots in it that are low in the middle, and it's ponded water. That would be the only road in the county like that right now.
They'll visit with them.
Okay. Well,
I don't know. There's a bunch of them. With this moisture, it's going to roads get torn up.
I gave $1,000 the other time when they had to. So,
the boss said.
Anything else?
Since Terry's not saying anything else, prior to our next meeting, though, I guess I really intended this as just a call out emergency type base. Isolated emergency. I'm not going to say the other ones aren't emergency.
2 weeks on Monday, Eric. In 2 weeks on Monday.
On Monday.
If there's anything else you want for a broader base, maybe think about that too.
Okay. And 2 weeks from Monday. Meeting adjourned.